Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Katan Tev Zayin. We're on the very top of Tev Zayin Amud Aleph. Yesterday we went through all the halachas of Avelos. There are 10 Yisurim, 3 Chiyuvim by Navel. And the Gemara yesterday sourced a pasuk in either Torah or Nevi'im, mostly Nevi'im, that gave us the sources for these halachas of Nihuge Avelos. Certainly one would get the impression that it's a Din D'Araisa. That is a debate, a major debate in terms of the source of the halachas of Avelos. Anyway, no, we're not going to get involved in that, but we are just simply going to summarize that. Yesterday, we went through all of them, all 13 of them. Two of the chiyuvim are not put into practice nowadays, as we pointed out yesterday, but on the books, however, there are 13 practices of an avel. And alongside that discussion, the Gemara also wanted to know what's going to be the story regarding a mitzvah and regarding a menuda. A mitzvah is somebody who has to rest. Well, how many of these practices are going to be held by a mitzvah? And how many of these practices are held by somebody who is placed in a nidui, an excommunication? And for a lot of them, for many of them, the Gemara simply says, I don't know. But nevertheless, for the 13 practices, so we ran alongside them someone who is a mitzvah, someone who is a menuda. Somebody who is a mitzvah, so for that we have psukim in the Torah. Torah is very clear regarding a mitzvah, exactly what his status is, what exactly gets him to the point of being a mitzvah. All right. But in terms of nidui, so what is nidui? All right. It's a very fair question, meaning somebody's excommunicated. Why was he excommunicated? Who is excommunicating him? How long is he going to be in excommunication for? Where am I going to turn to find these halachas? So the answer is today's daf. Okay. So the Gemara in Moed Katan, daf Tetzayin, today's daf is going to be a very basic guideline, a rundown in terms of what exactly means that somebody's going to be excommunicated. Why was he done so? How long is he going to be in that position? What is now going to be the status of the individuals in excommunication? All that is to be discussed in the course of today's daf. And we begin. We're in Tetzayin Amud Aleph, Amar Rava. Four lines down, the Gemara starts off. Mi Nalan. So we are going to go through more than a dozen details regarding nidui. So the first basic idea that we're going to be seeing over the course of today's daf is that nidui comes in as a result of contempt of court. Generally speaking, nidui is a way of disciplining somebody when he's insubordinate. So for a certain sense of insubordination, so he's going to be excommunicated. It's a tool. It's a tool in which the chachamim are able to basically keep people in line. And as we're going to see, it's going to disincentivize people from behaving a certain way. So the first primary example that we're going to be discussing this morning is going to be contempt of court, right? You're subpoenaed to go to court. You just simply ignore the subpoena. So now you're in contempt of court. Okay. So the result is going to be excommunication, as we're going to see right now. Now it's interesting as we're going to about to begin this whole discussion where the Gemara is going to be citing psukim to give us a lot of these halachas. Again, like yesterday, we can ask the same question today, and I'm not going to have definitive answers. Does that mean that these are dini d'araisa? Are they dini d'rabbanan, just simply attached to various psukim? Good. You can ask the same question regarding nidui like we asked yesterday. In the meantime, however, let's see the Gemara. Amarava. Minal mishajan shlicha de beidina. Now we'll take out the next three words as per the instructions of the Bach. And the first question is that how do we know that we can issue a subpoena? So the first subpoena in history is Moshe sending a subpoena over to Dasan Va'aviran. Dasan Va'aviran, who were basically behaving in a way which was definitely a rebellious nature. And so Moshe said, no, let's talk about it. You come here. And so he subpoenaed them. Number two, Minal Dezamni Ladina. Now, how do I know that you can actually issue a subpoena? Meaning the first point was just simply that you send somebody to subpoena. But the actual subpoena itself. So over here by Korach. So we see that he's calling Korach in. In the first point, he was sending a shliach, which is the first point of the Gemara that you can actually have an agent of the court. But now we're actually talking about the subpoena itself. Number three. And how do I know that I could subpoena somebody? And in the subpoena, you say that you're going to be seeing whoever. In other words, but gavaraba. It's got to be somebody who is great. So it says, lifnei Hashem. At upanaya, fourth point. How do I know that I'm going to be, that in the subpoena, I have to invite both the plaintiff and defendant. In other words, we're assuming some form of litigation over here and that we're subpoenaing both parties. So dichsiv, atem vehim va'aron. So again, in the dispute between Korach and Aaron, well, Aaron wasn't really disputing, but in the dispute between the two of them. So who got invited? Who got subpoenaed? So not only was it Korach and Dasan Vavirim, but also Aaron as well. Okay. The Kavina Zimna. Point number five. How do I know that in the subpoena you actually write a date? In other words, you are to present yourself in the court and such a date. So Dichsiv Machar. Because again, we turn back to the Parshan Korach. It says tomorrow. Zimna Basar Zimna. Now, how do I know that we can re-subpoena somebody one time after another? Yechsiv Karusham Paro Melch Mitzrayim She'on Ha'avir Ha'mo'ein. So here we turn to a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Okay, so as I mentioned in the beginning, so we're going to be all over the place, meaning we're going to cite Pesukim in Chumash and we're going to cite Pesukim in Navi as well. So over here, pasuk in Yirmiyahu, speaking to this idea that you can re-subpoena somebody in the event that he ignores the first one. Now, let's say he tells the agent, the court agent, exactly where he can go. So how do I know that the court agent now can report this information back to the court? Meaning, why not? And the answer is Lishna Bisha, because it might look like Lashon Hara. The agent is going to go back to the court and tell him exactly what the plaintiff said when subpoenaed to the court and he told the agent off. So how do I know now that the agent can go back and report? And it's not Lashon Hara. Here we go back to Parshas Korach. And in Parshas Korach, so Moshe knew exactly what they said. Well, how did he know? The answer is the agent told him. Oh, okay, fine. So the included in this agency is, of course, the ability to go back and report, even though the information that's coming back is not going to be pleasant information. Number eight. Now, how do I know that in contempt of the court, so now you can put the person in cherem. Obviously, all this is where we are headed to, meaning the whole idea over here is that we're just citing various examples of why someone is going to be excommunicated. Contempt of court is one example. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to go over numerous examples in terms of why someone is in fact going to be excommunicated. But right now, in contempt of court, how do I know that that is grounds for excommunication? Dichsiv oromero. So here we go back to a haftarah that we read not last week, but 2 weeks ago, right? Shiras Devorah, Perek Hay, and Asa Ashkenazim. So we also like Perek Dalet as well. So Dalet and Hay. So anyway, so here in the Shira, so Ura Meiroz. Uruz is cursed. Now Meiroz is being cursed. Who's Meiroz? Hold that thought. Dehachi Savra Degavar Abba. Now in the excommunication, so you can actually cite the person who's excommunicating. So Dechsiv Amar Malach Hashem. So in Shiras Devorah, so not only Meiroz was put in excommunication, but Amar Malach Hashem. Interesting, Rashi over here, Amar Malach Hashem. Rashi writes Barak. That's a reference to Barak, okay, who's being described over here as a Malach Hashem. That's one possibility. Barak Amar L'Sham Toshu, who Shuchu Shomakom. I'm sorry, that is the possibility, says Rashi. Okay. Uminalan de Mecharmiman. Now, how do I know that you can also put a Cherem as well? Over the course of today's daf, we're going to be learning together there are levels of excommunication. So Shamta, which we're going to hear again and again, so that is your baseline excommunication. There's actually something lighter than excommunication. It's called Nazifa. We'll be introduced to it a little bit later on this morning. There's something more severe, which is called a Cherem. So a Cherem is not only that you're being excommunicated, but you're being cursed as well. So this idea of having a Cherem, so how do I know that we can even go one step further? Meaning not only do we put somebody in Shamta, which is just simply excommunication, we're isolating that individual, but again, if there are grounds, if it's necessary, you can even put a cherem on that individual. Dichsiv Uru Arur. Again, going back to Shiras Devara, so you see the word Arur, so it's a curse. So not only is the person being isolated, excommunicated, but he's also being cursed as well. Now, when someone is excommunicated, how do I know that I can't eat with the person, drink with the person, nor just be in his general vicinity? I can't be in his four amos. So, dechsiv yosheveha. So here, once again, we turn back to the psukim in Shiras Devara. Yosheveha, you cannot be in his general vicinity. And how do I know now that we can publicize what he did? Meaning the person is excommunicated, which means that other people have to distance themselves from that individual, right? This is the first platform of social distancing. So how do I know now that we can actually broadcast this information to the public? Let the people know that this person is excommunicated. Otherwise, how are they going to know? How do I know that we can publicize? Now, what do we see in the Pesukim and Shiras Devara? It says clearly over there, they didn't come and help. Meaning what Devar and Baruch were trying to do was amass an army in order to fight the enemy. And so this Meiroz did not participate, And so therefore excommunicated and publicized, and we see it all in Shiras Devara. And when Barak put somebody in Cherem, so 400 shofars. Now we're going to see that the method of communication is blowing on the shofar. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I mean, I know what blowing on the shofar means, but is it blowing on the shofar and then making an announcement with the blowing of the shofar? I don't know procedurally exactly how it works, but the blowing of the shofar is part and parcel of the excommunication process. As a result of that, this Meiros was not put only put in Cherem, but 400 shofros, which is just basically a way of the Gemara saying that it was broadcast to everybody. Now, now this Meiros that was put in Cherem, who is this Meiros? So the Gemara has two versions as to who he was. So one version is that he's Gavar Abba. He was just a leader. He was a leader within the Jewish people. And again, when asked to participate in the war effort, so he declined. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that Kochav Ahava. Now, literally, that means a star. Rashi's understanding over here is that he was a mazel. And Rashi over here writes not just any mazel, but he was a mazel of Sisera. Okay, now at this point in time, I'm not sure what... This is a little bit strange, because we're putting a mazel in Cherem for failure for participation. Okay, so I'm a little bit confused at this point in time. This position of the Gemara, what are we? The first opinion, Gavar Abba, that makes perfect. Whatever, it's just a little bit challenging over here to understand this point of the Gemara. Shenemra mina shemaim nechamu kochavim. Okay, so again, going back to Shiras Devara, so this idea that the mazalos were also in part of the war effort and part of the war campaign. Uminon de mafkarina nechse. Now we get to the point where the person's in contempt and he's showing no reconciliation. He's not interested in changing whatsoever, and he stands in his contempt. So at that point in time, now what is in the arsenal of Basin? What can they do now? So they can repossess any one of his possessions. How do I know that that's true? So we turn to a pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk in Ezra says that if you don't come within 3 days, so your properties are going to be repossessed. What do we call this? We call this Hefker, Basin, Hefker. In fact, Rashi right over here writes, this is the source of the rule of Hefker, Basin, Hefker. That Basin does have the judicial power to go ahead and take property away from people, take possessions away from people, and they have this kind of ability, Hefker, Basin, Hefker. We discussed this at length when we discussed the ability of the Prizbol, right? The power of the Prizbol where it can override the Halachas of Shemitah. How can they do that? So the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Zayin says Hefker, Basin, Hefker. So it's a very powerful idea, and its source is based on this pasuk in Ezra. What else is in the arsenal of Beis Din? Someone who maintains his contempt of the court and is simply not conforming. Now it's interesting. You would think that taking away all of his possessions would be sufficient. The Gemara says, if necessary, we can even go further. And that is, you can fight with the person, you can curse the person, you can hit the person, you can pull out his hair, you can swear at the person. The pasuk in Nehemiah speaks to all of these ideas. Now, if that is insufficient, again, at this point in time, hard to imagine who we're describing over here, but we're talking about basically somebody who is a total rebel. Right? A total rebel to the cause. And so what more can be done? So kaftin, and you can tie him up, vasrin, and tie him up. And you could do a hardafa. Now, what is hardafa? Hold that thought for just a moment. Dichsiv, hein lamavitz, hein lasharusha, hein la'anesh nechasav la'ula asurin. So again, we turn back to the pasukim in Ezra. This is earlier in Ezra. And so, you can be ma'anish, you can bind them up. Okay, now there's a word over there in the pasuk in Ezra, which is you could be misharishim. What does that mean? So my list sharushay, Amar Adamari, Amar Nehemiah Bar Baruch, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Hardafa. So sharushay is Hardafa. Okay, great. So we said earlier that you could do this process of Hardafa. We cited a pasuk in Ezra that says that you could do this sharushay. The Gemara now translates sharushay as Hardafa. All that's great. Now the Gemara is going to ask a simple question. Umay Hardafa. Okay, great. But what is Hardafa? So Amar Rav Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Minad in La'alter. So what you could do is that if the person is insolent, if he's insubordinate, So immediately you can go ahead and you can put him in this excommunication. Vishonim lachar lamed. Now, the excommunication at its default is going to last for 30 days. If after 30 days he is showing no reconciliation, so you can go ahead and you could repeat and do it for another 30 days. And then umachrim lachar shishim. And then if necessary, you can give him a cherim after 60 days. So two rounds of shamta. And if at that point in time he shows no remorse, so then you could put the cherim. Now the cherim is, as we already discussed, but you see it clearly in the Gemara over here. So cherim is more than just an excommunication. It's an excommunication with also a curse on top of that. The person's being cursed. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinana Hachi Amar Rav Chista Masrin Bei Sheni V'Chamisha V'Sheni. So Rav Huna Bar Chinana says that no, you have to warn the individual. In other words, before we put the formal excommunication on anybody, you have to warn him. Monday, Thursday, Monday, that's the times that everyone gathers in town. We discussed that in the beginning of Masechta Megillah. It's when the courts convene. So you have to warn the individual. Monday, Thursday, Monday. Now that is if we're talking about a civil case and he was subpoenaed to a civil case and he shows contempt and he just simply ignores the subpoena. So then we go through the formality of warning the individual Monday, Thursday, Monday before we actually levy an excommunication against that individual. However, if the person is insubordinate, if he's disrespectful at that point in time, so then the excommunication comes immediately. And the Gemara is going to tell a number of stories. So there was a butcher, and he was mispaker. He was not just rebellious, but he was disrespectful. He showed outright disrespect in the direction of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. So imna alei abay v'rava v'shamtua. So he was put in cherem, and he was put in cherem immediately. Now he's a butcher, which means, of course, that he has shut down business. Nobody can go ahead and do business with him. And so the butcher realized at that point in time, I was disrespectful, so I need to change my whole attitude. He does change his whole attitude. And so at this point in time, now what's left on the table to discuss? The discussion now revolves around the fact that can now we remove him immediately from excommunication? Meaning, as we already pointed out, there's a default period of excommunication of 30 days. And now he shows reconciliation within those 30 days. And the question here is very simple. Can he be released prior to the completion of 30 days? So Amar Abai Hechle Avid Lishrelei Lo Chal Shamtei Alei Talsin Yama. So what are our options right now? Should we release him from his excommunication? Yeah, but 30 days haven't passed. Lo Lishrelei Kabal Rabban Lameil. So then what? We're going to keep him in Chem for 30 days? He is the town butcher. People really do need to buy from him. And he showed remorse. So shouldn't, and people need him. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Lerav Idi Baravin Midi Shmiel Lach Baha. So they didn't know exactly what to do at this point in time. And so they consulted. Did you hear anything about this? So it's the tut. In other words, in English, we use the same word, tut, meaning the horn, meaning the shofar that we described earlier. So the tut asar, so the horn is what put him in the cherem. It prohibited him. Tut sharei. And you could blow the same horn and that'll release him from it as well. Meaning an announcement is made. Meaning you can release somebody if the person shows that he's remorseful. You can release him immediately.
It fulfilled its purpose.
So. Yeah, correct. Okay, good. That was their conclusion. Amalei hanimilu lamamona. So he says, no, you misunderstood. If we're talking about a civil case and his contempt was just simply he ignored the subpoena, so then fine. So then you're right. He can be released immediately. So, but when it comes to insubordination, when it comes to disrespect, if the person was disrespectful to the Talmud Chacham of our community, so then the 30 days have to be met out. And so you cannot release them early if the reason for excommunication is in fact insubordination. So I'm sorry. Okay, period. So Abai says now, I'm sorry, not Abai says, but we are going to deduce from Abaye's conclusion, his position, that when three, meaning a court of three, put somebody in Shamta, in this excommunication, so you cannot have another court releasing him from the excommunication. Meaning, why not just simply go to another court and release him from the excommunication? So it must be that this very court is the only court that has the ability and the power to go ahead and to release him. The following question was asked. Can I have another court releasing him from an excommunication? Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's see from the following. Menuda l'Rav, menuda l'Tamid. So we're talking now about partial excommunication. So let's say, for example, a person was insubordinate. He was rebellious to the Rav. So menuda l'Tamid. So everyone now has to honor the excommunication of the students as well. However, menuda l'Tamid ain't a menuda l'Rav. But let's say he was disrespectful to the Talmud, so this is now going to create a partial excommunication. Not everyone needs to honor it. The Rebbe doesn't need to honor it. So, if, let's say, he was insubordinate locally, and the local court put him in an excommunication, so that has to be honored by everybody, even other cities as well. However, menuda l'ira cheres and menuda l'ira. But if another city puts them in excommunication, so that is another example of a partial excommunication, only needs to be honored by the other city. The local city does not have to honor it. And menuda l'nasi, menuda l'chol Yisrael, if let's say somebody was disrespectful to the nasi, that's a leader of the Jewish community, so then that has to be honored by everybody. The nasi is the leader. However, menuda l'chol Yisrael and menuda l'nasi, but not necessarily in the other direction. If somebody was put in excommunication against the Jewish people, the nasi does not have to abide by it. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says in the Braisa that if one of the students was put in a cherem and the person died while excommunicated, so chelko in a mufar. So the responsible party who put him in excommunication is not going to release his portion of the excommunication. Now, it's a little bit strange, meaning what it sounds like is that if the judge who excommunicated him dies, so that's it. In other words, he can't release his portion. Now, what does that mean? That person's going to be in excommunication in perpetuity? That's a difficult pill to swallow. Anyway.
The judge represents
it. Yeah. So, Shema Min HaTlas. So, the Gemara says, okay. Now, from the braisa that we just went through together, there are three things to conclude. Number one, Shema Min HaTlas Shenita L'Chvodo, Niduyav Niduyav. First of all, when the student puts somebody in cherem because he was disrespectful to the student, so it is an excommunication, albeit it's partial, as we already saw in the braisa, meaning the Rav doesn't need to honor the excommunication, but nevertheless, it still has some binding effect. That's number one. Number two, Shema Min HaKolecha Ve'echa Mefer Chalko. Number two is that everybody can release his portion, meaning that if you are a member of the Beis Din who excommunicated somebody, so you can release your portion. And Shema Min HaHani Beit Tosa D'Shamtin Lo'asu Tal Tarchin V'Sharulei. And finally, it's only that court that can release him. Another court cannot release him. So these are the three conclusions that the Gemara wants to derive from the Braisa. What comes out over here, at least in support of Abaye, is that from the Braisa, it seems pretty clear that when the court puts somebody in an excommunication, the only people that have the ability to release him is only going to be that very court.
So it's the only one, that person that released him, he has the right to approach him. But the other two cannot approach.
Okay, it sounds that way. Amar Meimer Hilchasa Hani Beitasa de Shamisu Asa Beital Tachin Visharulay. Okay, now in contra distinction to Abaye, you have the Shita of a Meimer. A Meimer says no. If a person was put in a cherem by one court, he can be released from another court. So Amalei Rav Ashi L'Amemer V'Atani Rishim Gamliel Omer Echem Min HaTalmidim Shenida Umeis Chalko in a Mufar. Okay, what about the Braisa we just quoted? The Braisa says Shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel is that when you have a member of the court who puts somebody in a shamta and he dies, that portion is not released. Doesn't it seem very clear from that Braisa that there is that you can't have another court releasing him? So my love ain't a mufar klal. Now, isn't that the correct pshat? Meaning what I suggested moments earlier, that person now is going to be in shamta in perpetuity. Now, again, it's a tough pill to swallow, but that seems to be the simple pshat of the braisa. Lo, the Gemara immediately rejects. Ad da asu beitalsa achrina v'sharulei. No, the correct way to understand the braisa is that he's not in shamta in perpetuity. It just simply means until another court releases him, but if and when another court releases him from his excommunication, so then he in fact is going to be released. Comes out now that we have a machlokes between Abaye and a Meimar. Abaye's of the position that when a court excommunicates somebody, so it's only that court that has the ability to release him, and a Meimar disagrees. And in terms of the Braisa, they both are going to be turning to the Braisa either to defend their position or you'll have to learn up the Braisa a little bit differently. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein nidu epachus melamed yom. Okay, so as far as Nidu is concerned, so Nidu and Shamta, they seem to be synonymous terms. So when a person is excommunicated, so that's going to be for 30 days. It's interesting, right? And this is not me making this observation for the first time, but Nida, who is a woman who is menstruating, so it's this. It's synonymous with the term Nidui, meaning it's a form of excommunication. Okay. So, but obviously not for insubordination, not for rebelliousness, but the result comes out to be the same. In other words, she's going to be distant from her husband for a certain period of time. Okay. Anyway, so the Ein Nidui Pachus Melamed Yom. So as far as excommunication is concerned, so when it's issued, so it's going to be for a minimum of 30 days. Ve'ein Nizifa Pachus Mizayin Yom. Now, Nizifa. So as I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, but here you see it now clearly, and that is that there's a lighter form of rebelliousness and subordination. So it's called Nizifa. A good English word for it? I don't have one. But nevertheless, it's a minor insult. It's a minor slight.
Censured.
And you're censored. Okay, good. So the censured. Ein Nizifa Pachla Mizayin Yom. So it's going to be for 7 days. Ve'afa Pishen Raila Davar Zechla Davar. Now the Gemara says, now, I'm not going to be able to produce, it's a brisa. The brisa says, I'm not going to be able to produce a source in the Torah that speaks to this idea. However, I'll give you a great remez, and that is, well, who was put in this nizifa? And that's, of course, Miriam. After having spoken Lashon Hara about her brother and her sister-in-law, so she was censored for a week. Amar Rav Chista, nidui shalanu kinizifa shalahem. So Rav Chista says that our nidui is that like their nizifa. O nizifa did who shiva, I'm sorry, period. So Rav Chista is of the position that our nidui is going to be no more than what nizifa is for them. Nizifa for them is 7 days. Our nidui is going to be this abridged version of 7 days. O nizifa did who shiva v'sulal. So the Gemara says, really? V'ha Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Ubar kaparav v'yasv v'kagarsi. So the Gemara tells the following story. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi and Bar Kappar were learning. And Kashulu Shmaita. And they approached a certain topic, and they got stuck. Amalei Rabbi Shimon bar Kappar, Davar Zed Tzarech Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon says to Bar Kappar, we need Rabbi. Now he happens to be referencing his father, but regardless. In other words, Rabbi was the Talmud Chacham. He was the Rosh Yeshiva, Gadol Hador, Nasi. He was everything. So we need Rabbi, meaning we got stuck. So good. So let's go to Rabbi. So, Amalei Bar Kappar, Rabbi Shimon, Umar Rabbi, Omar B'davar Zeh. Now, Bar Kappar says something which hopefully is going to be shocking to us all, and that is, he said, do you think Rabbi's really going to be able to help us here? Now, that was totally disrespectful. And Azo Amalei Lavua. So Rabbi Shimon reported what he said, what he heard back to Rabbi. Again, now, we right, with all this discussion, and the Gemara touched on it already earlier this morning, so you border on the topic of Lashon Hara. Meaning, as you're reporting now what you heard about somebody, and it was an insult, and it was a slight, and it was, of course, derogatory, and it was, of course, demeaning and disrespectful. And when you're reporting it, so is it Lashon Hara, is it not Lashon Hara? So again, these are really tough questions, and I'm not here to, I should be here to answer these questions. Unfortunately, I'm not. But nevertheless, though, the Gemara is telling us very clearly, he did report it to his father. So Ikbid, so obviously Rebbe got insulted. So Asa Bar Kappar Le Ischazuye Le. So Bar Kappar now presents himself to Rebbe. So Amalei Bar Kappar Eni Mekarach Me'olam. So Rebbe says to Bar Kappar, I don't recognize you. Now, of course, he recognizes him. What it basically means is that you slighted me, you insulted me. I don't want to hear from you right now. So Yadu Nanaka Milta Bedaite. So, of course, Bar Kappar at that point in time understood that Rebbe was insulted. And Nag Nizifusa Benafshe Talsin Yoma. And so, therefore, he took upon himself Nizifa for 30 days. Okay, so the whole point of the story is that we're challenging, because we're saying Nizifa 7 days, and meanwhile, we're talking about Nizifa over here. See, he wasn't directly disrespectful. He said something about the person, and nevertheless, it was offensive, and it was disrespectful. And so now we're in this category of Nizifa, but it was 30 days. Not the 7 days that we said earlier.
It was self-imposed, right?
And it was self-imposed. Fine. Now, here, this next story over here is not relevant to our discussion. However, as long as we're here. So Rebbe told his students not to teach in the public forum. Okay, don't record your shiur and put them online. Sorry, I've just... whatever, it's just... okay, self-deprecation, it's good. Yeah. So my darsh, so now, under what circumstances... why do you say that? Because it says, chamukech yirechech. So, kamo chalayim. So, my yerech v'seser, af divrei Torah v'seser. So Torah has to be taught modestly, privately. Torah is not to be put out there in the public. It's not an open market. Okay, so that's what Rebbe told the students. So Yatza Rebbe Chia Vishan Lishnei Bnei Achav Vishok, and Rebbe Chia taught his nephews in the marketplace. So Echav Vishok LeRav LeRabba Barachana Shama Rebbe Ikpe. Now Rebbe already gave very clear instruction: don't do this, and they did it. So also Rebbe Chia LeIschazu Yilei. So Rebbe Chia now goes sees Rebbe. And we already know that they had a very close relationship. Rabbi Chia was a student to Rabbi. Rabbi was a Masada of Mishnayos. Rabbi Chia was a Masada of the Braisos. So Amar Lei Iya Mai Korelach Bechutz. And Rabbi says to Rabbi Chia, Iya, right? Instead of calling him Chia, he calls him Iya. Now,
is that derogatory?
Right. I'm so funny. You just literally just read my mind. So in other words, it's a mispronunciation of his name. And if I knew more about the relationship, about the construct of the letters, I would understand a little bit better what he meant by that. I don't exactly know what he meant by that. But in other words, but once again, it was a slight because Rebbe gave very clear instructions not to teach publicly. He taught publicly. Okay, so Iya, my korei lecha b'chutz. What are you doing outside? I mean, you shouldn't be teaching Torah publicly. So, at that point in time, Rebbe Chia understood that he offended Rebbe. So once again, self-imposed Nazifa, and once again, 30 days, not 7 days. So, B'yam Talsin Shalach Lei Ta Hadar. Ta Hadar Shalach Lei Dolo Leisei. So, on day 30, so Rebbe sent a letter to Rebbe Chia, okay, come, then followed up with a second letter saying, don't come. Okay, mixed messages, of course, but we'll see in just a moment. So, Mikara Maisafer Losof Maisafer. So the Gemara wants to know. The first letter where on the 30th day he re-invited his Talmud Rebbe Chia back in and then immediately issuing a second letter not to come back. So what were the two thoughts of Rebbe? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Meikar Safer Mixas Yom Kikulo. So first he thought, okay, today's day 30. So generally speaking, when you complete a count, so on the last day, you don't have to count a full day. Avelos is a perfect example. We're going to see a lot of this in our parak right here. And that is on the seventh day of Avelos. You get up in the morning. Mixas a Yom Kikulo. And there are other examples of Mixas a Yom Kikulo when you're finishing a count of days. So over here, that's what he thought on day 30, Mixas a Yom Kikulo. So Savar Lo, I'm sorry, Ula Vesov Savar Lo, I mean Mixas a Yom Kikulo. And then afterwards he says, no, not here. Meaning this is not going to be an appropriate place to apply the principle of Mixas a Yom Kikulo. It's a fair question to ask. I'm going to ask the question. I'm not going to have a great answer. Why not? Meaning, why don't we say Mixas Yom Kikulo when it comes to Shamta, when it comes to somebody being excommunicated? So I could give you suggestions. I don't have a source right now in terms of why not. But that's what Rebbe held. L'sofa asa amalei amai achis. So now he presents himself on day 30 when Rebbe sent a second letter saying not to come. So amai achis amalei deshach limar deleisi. Well, he says, well, I got your first letter and it was inviting me back in. V'hashach lech delo teisi. Yeah, but I sent you the second letter, remember? So he says, Amalei, is that Reisiv? Is that Larisi? So he says, very simply, I got the first letter, I never got the second letter. The second letter never got to me. So I just followed the instructions of the first letter. I didn't know there was a second letter. So Kari Aleh, so when Rebbe understood now why he in fact showed up, he says, oh, so now I'm happy. So Kari Aleh quotes the Pasuk of Mishlei, Britzos Hashem Darchi Ish, Gama Yivav Yashlim Oso. So when someone is favorable to Akash Baruch Hu, so he's going to make Shalom. So in other words, it was by divine providence, Hashkacha, that you didn't receive the second letter. Akash Baruch Hu wanted you back over here. Good. Okay, very good. So my time, Avin Marhachi, Amrle Dichsiv. Now, back to the topic at hand. And that is Rabbi Chia's public teaching of Torah. So he's asking Rabbi Chia, what did you think? So Dichsiv, Chachmas Bachutz Tarona. So he quotes the Pasuk of Mishlei, the beginning of Mishlei. So Chachmas Bachutz Tarona. That you should be singing the chachma over here is chachma satorah, and you should be doing so b'chutz. In other words, the pasuk in Mishlei that says that you should be teaching publicly. Amar leim karis lo shanit vim shanit lo shilasht. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Chia, good, you read the pasuk maybe one time. You didn't do it a second time. You certainly didn't do it a third time. And vim shilasht lo pir shalach chachmas b'chutz tarona. So, and if you read it a third time, you just read it. In other words, you don't know the correct pshat. So the Gemara says, "Chachmus b'chutz tarona k'derava." The Amar Rava, "Kol ha'osik b'tor mi b'fnim Torah so machreses lov mi b'chutz." The pshat in the pasuk is that when you're learning Torah, as you should be doing, meaning privately, so people are going to hear about it. Meaning, just because you're learning Torah privately does not mean that nobody's going to know about it. People will know that you're learning Torah, even though it's learned privately. That's just simply the nature of Torah. That's what the pshat in the pasuk is, but it's certainly not an allowance nor an instruction to go and teach Torah publicly. V'haksiv lo me'erosh b'seisa dibarti. So the Gemara says, no. So the pasuk says that me'erosh originally b'seisa dibarti. I spoke to you privately. So the so hahu b'yuma dekala. So the Gemara says, yeah, and yuma dekala. So there were a couple times a year where everyone would convene in order to learn. So this is called yuma dekala. We reference this a number of times throughout Shas. So over here on such a day, so under those circumstances, one is going to be teaching Torah in a more public forum. Rabbi Chiya, hai chamuke yirakech my avile. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rabbi Chiya is concerned, so he's also familiar with the pasuk in Shir Shirim that we quote on the bottom of the previous Amud, which is that the Torah is compared to the thighs of a woman, i.e., it should be private, it should be modest. So what does he do with that pasuk? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So when giving tzedakah, when doing chesed, that should be done privately. That's how he understood the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Okay, so we have a machlokus amongst the Tanayim, Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya, whether Torah should be taught in a public forum. The Gemara doesn't necessarily take a side, but it certainly sounds like the Gemara is favoring Rebbe's position more than Rebbe Chiya's, that it should be done privately in modesty. It should not be taught in a public forum. That's correct. That's the kala. That's the kala. That's what the Gemara here is probably making reference to. Okay, the Rashi writes over here just very succinctly, drasha shakol mitzuyim sham. It was a public drasha. But most probably, though, it was the Shabbosim prior to Pesach and Sukkot, yeah, where, you know, there would be a public drasha. Ama, nizifa didu tlas yomen. Nizifa, I'm sorry. I'm a nazifa didu tlas yomen. So, but what comes out from this is the following. And that is that nazifa, in other words, all this was because on the bottom of the previous Amud, nazifa was recorded as being 7 days. And meanwhile, we have not one, but two stories where it was nazifa. It was an unintended slight, but still, nevertheless, it was a slight. And it wasn't outright disrespect. So it falls under this lower category of nazifa, but it was observed for 30 days, not for 7 days. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but nazifa nasi shani. But we can answer very simply, and the Gemara does, is that that is nazifa towards the nasi. In both of those occasions, so who was a slighted party? It was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was the nasi, he's a leader. So even though it wasn't outright disrespect, and it wasn't intentional disrespect, but nevertheless, there was disrespect involved, but because the offended party was a nasi, so therefore it's going to be extended for 30 days. But generally speaking, the default period of time for nazifa is going to be 7 days. Again, it's a remez. It's not the source of the halacha. The Gemara previously said, yeah. But in other words, it was a slight that she imposed on Moshe for having spoken inappropriately about Moshe. So that's why she was nazifa. But the Gemara says it's not a source. It's a zechel davar. It's a remez. Unazifa didan kama havi chad yuma. Now, our nazifa, meaning the Gemara's assumption over here is that for us the numbers are going to be slightly modified. So for us the nazifa is going to be 1 day. Right? In other words, the Gemara earlier said that Shamta for us is going to be 7 days, right? What the Nazifa was in Eretz Yisrael, for us it's going to be 7 days. So it's reduced. There's a reduction of time for insubordination in Bavel. Okay. I don't know why. Again, I'm going to raise question. I don't know the answer. So why in Bavel are the numbers reduced? Why is there a reduction of term for insubordination out in Bavel? I don't have a great response, but it certainly is reduced. So Shamta goes from 30 to 7. Nazifa is going to go from 7 to 1. Ratio-wise, it doesn't work out so well. But anyway, so Nazifa didan kama hava chad yuma. It's 1 day. Ki ha d'shmo mar ukva ki hava yasve garis shmaita. The Gemara tells another story. Here, Shmuel and mar ukva are learning together. Hava yasve mar ukva kama d'shmo b'richuk dal amos. So mar ukva was sitting with Shmuel, but at a distance of 4 amos. V'chei hava yasve b'dina hava yasve Shmuel kameda mar ukva. And when sitting in judgment, a distance of 4 amos. Mar Ukva literally carved out a spot in the ground. In other words, made sure that he was at a distance. But meanwhile, he wanted to make sure that he still heard the Torah that was coming out of Shmuel. Now every day, so Mar Ukva made sure to be Malav Shmuel to his house. In other words, Shmuel obviously was the rush. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. He was the Mar Da'asra. So Mar Okva would make sure to escort him every day to wherever he stayed. Yumachad Itra B'dinei. And one day, Mar Okva was just lost in his thoughts, right? Itred B'dinei. All right, he was totally preoccupied in his thought. So, Hava Azo Shmuel Basrei, and Shmuel was walking home, but he was walking home unescorted. Now, Mar Okva happened to have been walking with him, but not with him. In other words, normally Mar Okva would escort him. Right. But over here, Mar Okva was so preoccupied that he's just walking, happens to be that he was walking together with Shmuel, but not escorting him, like he normally does. So as they get back to the house, now Shmuel has now walked back unescorted, and again it's a slight disrespect, it's a slight insolence. So literally Mar Betigrei. So Shmuel says to Mar Okva, so may Hashem forgive you from any kind of quarreling. Okay, it was a way where Shmuel basically was communicating to Mar Okva, you know, I'm slighted. So Yada Danaka Milsa Bidate. At that point in time, Mar Okva totally understood that, again, unintentional, but he disrespected Shmuel. So Nag Nizifusa Benav Shechayuma. So he observed Nizifa for himself for one day. Again, the whole point of the story is that here in Bavel, so we're only doing Nizifa for one day, not for 7 days. Next story. Hawisa David Yasfa Bishvile. A woman was sitting on the pathway and have a pashta kare, and her leg was sticking out. And Vika Minifi Khushlaiva have a khalava azul turba mirabanan. And along walked by a pair of Talmidei Chachamim, and velo ichna'a mikameh. Now she didn't move her position. Okay, in other words, she just basically sat in that awkward position and blocking the way, and she didn't recede. So Amar kamachatzifa ayisasa. So the Talmidei Chachamim were saying, "Look, this woman is disrespectful." So also coming to Rav Nachman, Amalu mishama shamte mipumeh. So she goes to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman asks the question, did they actually put you in any kind of excommunication? Did you hear that from their mouth? Amar Leilo? She said no. So Amar Leilo, Zila Nehuga Nezifo Se Chayuma Benafshech. Oh. So in other words, it wasn't a direct disrespect, and they didn't formally excommunicate you? Okay. So now we're in this lower level of Nezifa, one day. So again, the second story, just simply to highlight and show that in Bavel, there is Nezifa, but not 7 days, just one day. Next. Zutra Bartuvia have a kapasik sidri coming to Rav Yehuda. Zutra Bartuvia was saying over Psukim in front of Rav Yehuda, Kimatalai Psuka, he got to the following Pasuk. The Eila Divrei David Achronim. So in Shmuel Beis, in the 23rd Perek, so a difficult Pasuk. These are the words of David, you know, the later words. That's the Pasuk in the Navi. Amrle Achronim Echlal Dika Rishonim. Well, okay. Now, if these are the later words of David, so what are the earlier words? So Rishonim Aynihu. So what are the earlier words? So now, mind you, Zutra is learning in front of Rav Yehuda, these Psukim and Shmuel Beis, and so he's asking the question to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda heard him. Now, Velo Amrle Velo Midi. But Rav Yehuda didn't respond. So Hadar Amrle Achronim Echlal Dika Rishonim. Oh, okay, fine. So must be that you didn't hear my question. I'm going to repeat myself. So he repeated himself over to Rav Yehuda. Rishonim Mayhi. So you're making fun of me. Meaning, I heard you the first time. You know I heard you the first time. You're repeating the question because basically you're suggesting, you're insinuating that because I don't know the answer to the question, so I'm not a Talmid Chacham. That must be your implication. Now again, over here, with all these Gemaras, context is really important, tone is really important, meaning that it's obviously important to recognize and realize, you know, what the tone that was involved in. And so if we were there, I think we would have a much better way of understanding how it was done in a disrespectful manner. So, Yada Naka Milsa Bedaite Nag Nizifusa Benafshe Chad Yuma. Okay. So, and realizing now that he offended his Rebbe, even though it was unintentional, but his Rebbe was offended, so he put himself in Nezifa for one day. Again, third story in a row, just simply to show us that in Bavel, Nezifa is observed for one day. The Gemara says, okay, but no, as long as we're here, as long as we ask the question, so the Gemara says, let's give an answer. What exactly is Pshat in the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis? So v'yedaber David l'Hashem is divrei Hashir Hazos by Yom Ha'itzel Hashem Oso Mikaf Kol Evav Umikaf Sha'ul. So in that parak, so David sang Shira to Kadosh Baruch Hu for having saved him from all his enemies, including Shaul. So at that point in time, Akash Baruch Hu responds to David and harshly, really don't pride yourself so much that you were saved from Shaul. If let's say we were to switch you around, you were Shaul and Shaul was you. Now what does that mean? We switch you around. So that obviously is really difficult. So the way Rashi says it is that let's say you had his mazel and he had your mazel. Every one of us has a particular set of mazelos. We were given all our own individual yetzahara, and right. This is my interpretation of Rashi, and I could be right. So every one of us is given our own mazel. Each one of us has our own yetzahara. Each one of us is custom tailored a certain set of nisyonos in our lifetimes. And David HaMelech, you have your nisayon, and Shaul has his nisayon. If I gave you Shaul's nisyonos, you wouldn't have survived. So the ibadati kamadavim mipanav, you and many other versions of you would have been lost. Meaning, you would not have been able to withstand his nisyonos. So don't judge Shaul. Haynu dechsiv shegayon leDavid asher shar laHashem al divrei Kush ben Yamini. The Gemara says, good. Now we know pshat the pasuk in Tehillim. Right, shigayon leDavid. I was out of my mind. Meaning, I said something about Shaul. I shouldn't. Now he didn't use the word Shaul in that pasuk in Tehillim. He just simply says al divrei Kush ben Yamini. But Kush is a reference to Shaul. V'chikush shmo v'lo Shaul shmo elamak Kushi. Yeah, elamak Kushi mishunem be'oro avshol mishunem be'masav. So what it means is that Shaul is called Kushi because Kushi, just like the discoloration makes that individual really outstanding, unusual. So too, Shaul was outstanding and unusual, but masav, meaning Shaul was just on a different level, operating on a different level of tzidkus. Again, he made what we will call mistakes, but again, we're not in a position to judge. And as the Gemara just informed us, in other words, he was operating on a high level, and he had his particular nisyonos, right? Some he did well with, some he didn't do well with, whatever the case is. But in other words, but he was meshuna b'masav. He was operating on a high level. So kayotz b'davar ha'omer, good. And the point the Gemara is making is that David HaMelech learned his lesson. Meaning, you're right. In other words, I shouldn't have said anything about Shaul. Kayotz b'davar ha'omer, la'odos ha'isha ha'kushisa shalakach. So again, a couple more times in Tanakh, where we see the term kushit is just describing somebody who is unusual. And that is v'chi kushit shma v'alo tzipor shma, ela makushit mishuna b'oraf tzipor mishuna b'ma'aseha. Again, tzipor mishuna b'ma'aseha. Unusual in terms of her actions. She was operating on a higher level. Again, the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu describing Tzidkiyahu as being Kushi. So, Tzidkiyahu was also somebody who was Mishune B'Masav, was operating on a higher level. And finally, so the Pasuk in Amos describing the entire Klal Yisrael's Kushi. So Ela Makushim Mishune Barav Yisrael Mishunim B'Maaseh Mikol Almos. So we're different than all other nations. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. We spent an entire day today talking about Shamta, Nizifa, and Cherem. Let me present it in a better order. Nizifa, Shamta, and Cherem. So as we learned, Nizifa is indirect. I know I'm not going in the order of the Gemara, but Nizifa is where you had an indirect slight, not intentional, but nevertheless you offended a Talmid Chacham. So under those circumstances, so that is, you're going to be put in a semi-excommunication, a censure, as I learned this morning. So and you're going to be put there for 7 days and Bava only 1 day. Shamta, where that's more formal, right? You're right. The first example of today's daf is that you were in contempt of court, you were subpoenaed, and you told the shlech exactly where you can go. So under those circumstances, now that's going to be formal. And there are other examples of shamta as well, right? Directly offending a Talmid Chacham. So for that, you're put in shamta. Shamta is for 30 days. Again, in bavel, observe for 7 days. And then cheirim, if you remain in your state of insubordination, so under those circumstances, you are now going to be given a cheirim. A cheirim, not only are you excommunicated, but you're also going to be cursed as well. Those are the three categories that we discussed in the course of today. And the first amud of today's daf, we cited all the relevant psukim that speak to this idea. And in the second, we just simply learned about the terms of nezifa and shamta. Shamta, which also is synonymous with the word nidui, which is that in Bavel, for reasons which I don't know why, but in Bavel, it's a reduction of terms. In Eretz Yisrael, nezifa is for 7 days, in Bavel, 1 day. In Shamta Nidui, in Eretz Yisrael, 30 days, in Bavel, 7 days. Okay, Adkan.